I appreciate this opportunity, Pastor. I thank you very much for letting me come up here and stand behind this pulpit. It's a privilege to preach God's Word. It's an honor. I don't take lightly. I really do. I really appreciate the opportunity. Tonight, I want us to talk about famine should bring movement. And I titled the message, Should Bring Movement, because sometimes we don't move. You know, sometimes we go through life standing still, or those people who have famine in their life, they don't know what to do. They're almost in a state of awe of what happened to me. They're in a position to not move like they should. And that's why I was thinking about this famine should bring movement. I got the message from studying David, actually looking at Ruth, and how Boaz and Naomi had famine and they moved. Therefore, Ruth came into the picture. And how in their movement and the act of obedience in that famine, we have the lineage of Jesus, which is awesome. It's awesome. So let's turn to our Bibles, Genesis chapter 41. We're going to look at a couple of things here. Where's your Bible, Brett? One of my teens, it's all right, right? Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to move quickly here because there's a little bit to read. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeons. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to the interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven keen, fat flesh, well favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other keen came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kin did eat up the first seven fat kin. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk full and good. And behold, seven ears with withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And thine ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one, and the seven thin and the ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Skip to verse 35. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the city. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Skip to 47 with me. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food in the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered the corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Skip to 53 with me. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold them to Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the land. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. Father, I thank you for this opportunity I have here, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just put myself aside. I am worthless. I can't speak. I just can't do it. I need your help. Lord, touch our hearts. Help us to be changed, not just to hear another message, not just to hear a little bit of what your word has to say and go out empty, but Lord, help us to be renewed, changed. Father, this word is pure. Everything that comes out of this word is pure. Help us understand that. Help us, Lord, to understand that this famine should bring movement. Lord, work in our hearts tonight. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to show you how physical famine relates to spiritual famine and how both should have movement towards the bread and water of life. One is what we need to do. Two is how to handle. And three is where to go to end the famine. Where to go to end the famine is my favorite part. It should be yours too, I hope. But we're going to take a look at that. For many years, for you know, lots of years, there's been people dying all over the world due to famine and starvation. Due to people not moving to find food. People just staying where they're at, looking for what they have in front of them and not what they could have if they were to move. A lot of times, we as Christians fall in the same category. We look at what we have on the shelf, but we don't move it. We look at what we have in the church, but don't attend. We look at what we have, numerous of resources, so that we can just draw closer to Jesus Christ, but we don't. I think we're all at fault for this. Every single American Christian in the world is at fault for this, because there's so much more that we can do. If we were just sold out for Christ, if we were willing to be beheaded like John, if we were willing to die for the cause of Christ, so much more could be done. Pastor and I were talking up there. And we were talking about, yeah, there's a lot of Christians in the world. And I said, you know, and we were agreeing with this, and I said, you know what? The thing is, there's a lot of Christians in the world, but none of us want to move. None of us want to do what we're called to do for Christ. Oh, we'll touch the surface. I hate to step on anyone's toes, but I'm stepping on mine too. We'll touch the surface of our Christian walk, but we're not willing to get in it. We'll touch the surface for Jesus. That's good enough. But it's not. You won't see or experience, we won't experience the true movement, the true gifts that God wants to give us until we're willing to die to move. So, I'm going to read you this thing here. I think it's pretty cool. This is, hold on, let me go up here first. Some people don't want to move simply because of laziness. Or they don't see the famine coming because their eyes are dim. Could that be us, Christian? Some people are warned about the drought, but due to laziness, we're not moving. We need to prepare our hearts. Some are just complacent. Is that us, Christian? Are we complacent? Are we just happy where we're at? We go to church? Oh, amen. We read our Bible one chapter a day. I got my fill, like eating your bowl of cereal. Are we complacent, Christian? This story I have here is very, very funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's awful, but it's just reality. 1 million died in Ireland alone on September 9th of 1845. The Irish newspaper first reported that the potato blight, which was to create the famine, the nation of Ireland had become dependent on the potato as the main ingredient in their diet. The potato. It's awful. All right. The main ingredient in their diet. The uncompromising Irish people and leadership had successfully alienated their nearest powerful neighbor. Ancient culture, life ways hindered cooperation and made certain foods taboo. Of course, there was also some imperial mismanagement when a fungus destroyed the potato crop, a nation starved, and 1 million survivors left the island, many destined for America. They put all their eggs in one basket, you could say. They planted the potato. They were complacent with this being enough for them. And here this fungus come out and destroy the potato, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have other crops to rely on. Church isn't enough. Church is not enough for us to feel as if we're going to have the full nutrition of the Bible. Reading one chapter a day is not enough for us to have the proper nutrition of the Bible. Praying before our meals doesn't consist of prayer. Sorry. Doesn't consist of prayer. The Christian America today is starving because we don't know where to feed. We don't know where to go. We're lost. We think we have the answers, but we don't. It's all surface. It's all surface. It's all surface. Here's something I think was pretty cool. If you're to have a devastation, these are four things that you're supposed to do. Four things. Number one was to contact emergency personnel. Christian realm, God. Number two, grow food. Spiritual realm, spirituality. Growing spiritually. Number three, hunting. Searching deep in your heart to see where we are. Number four, storing, being prepared. And then hiding God's word in our heart. Very simple, basic truths of Scripture that we got to apply. Number one, what we need to do. Pastor said I can go till about 9 o'clock, so I hope that's all right. No, I'm just joking. He didn't say that. What we need to do, number one, listen to the cry. In verse 14 through 21, it talks about Pharaoh calling Joseph. Pharaoh called Joseph. Now, what I find in verse 14 is really awesome. Pharaoh, knowing that he was being called by the king, what did he do? What did he do here? You know what he did? He changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. He got his robes on. He changed it. He shaved himself. He looked good to be in front of the king. Just like we as Christians need to look good when we're in front of our king. When we're in his house. You know, so many times we think it's okay, or people think it's okay to come to come before God. However, well, I'll tell you what, I had a guy, and by the way, this is not just my friend, it's my boss. So say hi to him, please. Please. No, I had a guy, and he came to me, and I interviewed him, and he was wearing jeans and a shirt. Roy knows what I'm talking about. And he came to me in a jeans and a shirt, and he wanted an interview. Well, listen, if you're going to go in an interview, we're going to put our best garb on. We're going to sit before the person who's going to hire us. Right? We're going to put our best garb on. I think that's important. I do. But here in verse 14, he gets ready. He changes his raiment. He gets himself ready. In order for Joseph to guide and to direct Pharaoh, he needed to listen. So A is listen to the cry. Listen to the cry. If we look back at the potato story, even though it's really kind of corny but funny but true, it's sad. They had a warning. They had a warning. The newspaper warned them about this fungus thing here. They didn't listen. They didn't listen to the warning. We have warnings all around us. With the world pulling at us. With the world trying to destroy us. We have warnings all around us. All we got to do is listen. We got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. If you look at the potato story, it says he warned us about that it was to create a famine. But no one listened. 1 million died. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, excuse me, in verse 20, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but heareth not. We got to listen. We got to listen to what people are saying. We got to try to pay attention to every little piece that we can grab from them. We got to listen. If we listen, we'll be ahead of the game. As Christians, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and the way He is telling us to go. If we turn to Ephesians, 4:30, I'll just go there real quick here. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not. He is the direction for us to go. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, He has a direction for us to go in our lives. But when we don't listen to Him and we grieve Him because we haven't died to our flesh, He can't work in our hearts. He wants to. He's there doing this. Hey, remember? Hey, remember me? Over here. Hey, over here. Okay, today I'll listen to you, God. What do you got to say? I can't do that. That's too much. What was that again? We got to listen to God. God is talking to us all the time. God is talking to us through our lives. God is talking to us through this word. God is talking to us just through what we see. God is talking to us. The Holy Spirit is talking to us all the time. As Christians, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to His direction. We need to focus on what He's trying to teach us. If we don't listen to what Christ is trying to teach us, what the Holy Spirit is showing us, guess what? We're missing out opportunities. We're missing out opportunities. You know, the best sale is taking it away. The best sale is taking it away. If I have a sale and I want to sell something to somebody and I leave it right there and I dangle, I say, oh, you can't have it. They want it. They want it. It's just the way it goes. Okay? So we will miss opportunities, guys. Girls, women, men, we will miss opportunities if we don't live and change our hearts truly to be sold out for Christ. Myself included. I'm not here to call any the kettle black or whatever the saying goes. I'm included here. Okay? I think a lot of us are. I think that we as Christians are so far behind the eight ball from what we should be, it's not even funny. Famine should bring movement. It should bring movement. If we look at here, it grieves us. As Christians, we need to starve. We're going to starve spiritually if we don't start listening to Him. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. Psalms. Cold on top of being a northerner really helps. 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to taste Him? Are we willing to try Him? He won't fail you. As preacher was preaching the other day, it was a perfect illustration. I loved it because I started thinking about, man, Lord, You're talking to me right now. You're talking to me right now. Because you know what? We take a step, He fouls. We take a step, or He takes a step, we foul. You know, that kind of motion. Hey, listen. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to taste Him. He has nothing but goodness for us. Nothing but goodness. He's not here to hurt us. He's not here to bring discomfort, even though we fall into discomfort when we lose our jobs. Even when we fall into discomfort when we have ailments in the family or with our children. That's part of life. It's not that He's raining down, waiting to strike us or waiting to hurt us because He wants to bring His judgment upon us. No, He's a loving God. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to live our lives for Him. He wants us to do what He has called us to do. We won't hear that call if we're not listening. If we're not paying attention, if we're not in His Word, we won't hear it. If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to trust the Holy Spirit, for He is good. He truly is. It reminds me of that Narnia movie. I don't know if anybody's seen that Narnia movie. At the end is my favorite part. Because as the lion's walking away, the one part says, He is good. And He is. God is so good. He will never fail us. Never. My brother's here, praise the Lord. My brother Nate. And he knows how we grew up was a little rough. But he's never failed us. God, I have a wife with four kids. He's brought my wife out of a heart tumor. My brother has three kids. He is good. He is so good. There is no way around it. You know, when we are, if you're taking notes, letter B. My wife told me not to do it, but I do it anyways because it's great. Letter B. When we are called upon, there's one thing to listen and hear and listen, but there's another thing to pay attention with response. Pay attention with response. Okay, if we look at verse 18, going back to Genesis. These new recycling bottles are so thin. You know? I hate them. Serious. So if we look at verse 18, it says, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat flesh and well-favored. And they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt. Here is where Pharaoh is telling, I would keep reading, but I don't have time. Here is where Pharaoh is telling Joseph about his dreams. He's saying, this is what's going on. So Joseph is listening, and now here he's paying attention. So Joseph is paying attention to Pharaoh's dreams right now. If he didn't pay attention, and if he didn't listen and hear what Pharaoh had to say, could have Joseph brought the proper response? No. He wouldn't have. Because it just wouldn't happen. If you look for 25 to 32, this is where Joseph responds. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream when Pharaoh is one, God has showed Pharaoh what is about to do. He's telling now Pharaoh what he sees. So Pharaoh's saying, what's going on here? All right? So if us as Christians, we hear God, we listen to what he's trying to tell us, but does it do this? Does it go in one ear and out the other? Are we paying attention? And then after we pay attention to what the Lord's trying to teach us, are we responding? Are we responding to what God has for us? Famine should bring movement. Our spirituality right now, if we are dead with our walk with the Lord, we need to start moving. No way around it. We need to start moving. If we are not walking with the Lord like we should be, and there's things that are just nipping at our heels, sin, that we feel like we can't overcome, we need to give it to God and start it fresh. That's what he wants. He wants you up at this altar. He wants you at your pew. He wants you wherever you are to give him your sin so that he can work in your heart. Because he can't work in your heart if you're not yielded to him. He wants to hear that response. All right, Lord, let's do it. I'm ready. He wants that response. He wants you to know that you're listening. He wants to know you hear him. He also wants to know that you're paying attention and that you're going to respond to him. You're going to respond to him. If we are not paying attention as Christians, we will also miss out opportunities to help the lost. If we're not paying attention to the need of the unsaved, we will miss out opportunities to lead them to Christ. God has given an ocean of fish. Now, a lot of us like fishing, but he's given us a lot of souls to talk to. He's given us a lot of responsibility. I have a friend, he was 18, he died. He died in a car accident. It was a drinking and driving accident. And you know, I was saved, but I wasn't living for the Lord. I was saved, but I wasn't living for the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, boy, I know that I don't know what's going to happen, but I think of this guy all the time. Like, man, I missed the opportunity. I could have told him about Jesus Christ. Now he's dead in hell. I missed out because I wasn't paying attention and I wasn't responding when the Lord was talking to me back when I was younger. Let's not miss out the opportunities. We want to be able to respond. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 3, 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord. Are we saying, speak, Lord? Or we say, ah, oh, Lord, not right now. This is a good show. This is a good show. I'm in this show right now. Are we, Lord, not right now. I got too much to do. I'm going out this weekend. Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. See, here we all know the story of Eli and Samuel, and we've heard this before, but what is neat about this is that he listened, he responded, he said, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I think that's what we need to do. We need to be listening to God's cry. We need to listen to where He's calling us, and we need to say, speak, Lord, I hear you. Speak to me. Don't speak around me, speak directly to my heart. Speak directly to my heart. I don't want to get a misunderstanding of what you're trying to teach me, Lord. I want to hear you, Lord. Please show me what it is you want me to hear. How many of us fall on our knees and just cry out to God saying, just show me this place of not knowing where I'm going is driving me crazy. Just tell me what you want me to do, Lord. Just tell me. Just tell me. If we go to Psalms, Bible's good, ain't it? Bible's good. If we go to Psalms and we look at chapter 143. Chapter 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Man, we need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. We need to pay attention and respond and ask Him to change our hearts. Live the gospel. We are starving ourselves. This goes back to what we talked about. And we are starving ourselves the riches and glory, the rewards of lives coming to Christ, when we're focusing on the materialistic things of the world. We work so hard. I use this in another illustration in New York in the jail. We work so hard to own a house. And in New York, we have basements. Here, you have crawl spaces, which are awful. In New York, you have a basement. You can turn it into a playroom. Kids love it. Well, anyways, we work so hard for things to put in our basement or in your crawl space, your bonus room, whatever you guys want to call it. Us. I'm here. I'm one of you. Sorry. There's a lot of people out here. So, no. Excuse me. But we work so hard. We work so hard for things, right? It's okay to have things. It's not. There's nothing wrong with it. But I tell you what, man, when I moved here, that sounded southern, I tell you what. But anyways, when I moved here, my garage was full of junk. I had so much junk, I gave stuff away. People loved me. I was like Mr. Friendly. Here, take it, here. But we worked so hard. We worked so hard for stuff, you know? I really don't know where that's going, but we do. All right? So anyways, when was the last time you told someone about the Lord? When was the last time we've actually witnessed? When was the last time we've really stepped out of our comfort zone? See, we have this space that we like to be in. We like to say, oh, you're too close, brother. I love you. You're too close. Oh, I won't hug you. You're too close, bro. Hey, you know what? I can't tell you about the Lord because you know what? Here's what. You might fire me. Oh. Sorry. I can't tell you about the Lord because you might put in a harassment charge to the boss. Hey, sorry about that. I'm going to tell anybody about the Lord. They're going to know where I stand. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my King. There ain't nobody who's not going to know about what I believe in. It's the bottom line. So, when's the last time we told somebody about the Lord? When's the last time we handed out that tract? Oh, that's real hard. Piece of paper. This is good, right? Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was hard. It was the fastest way down, brother. We go fast in New York. But When's the last time we handed out that tract? When's the last time we prayed in public? You know that flagpole? I think that's awesome. With the kids praying in front of the flagpole. That's awesome. You know, in New York, you'll probably have like 6 kids. Honestly. You'll probably have like 6 or 10 kids. Down here, at my daughter's school, there's teachers saying, hey, you going out to pray the flagpole? Praise God. Praise God for what that's worth, really. Seriously. Praise God for what that's worth. So, when's the last time we've cared enough to step outside of our comfort zone to pay attention to what God has said to us to do and that we're responding in the proper manner? Listen, when's the last time that somebody's looked at you, Christian? When's the last time they've looked at you and they said, hey, that's a holy roller? Or they said, hey, you know what, that person's different. When's the last time that you've had a Christian tell you, man, you're out of your rocker, man, you're crazy. Seriously. Man, we need to be sold out for Christ. We need to live our lives totally separate from this world. I know it's hard, man. I know it's hard. We have to live so separate that people can see a distinction between what we live for and the world itself. There should be no questions about, are you a Christian? Oh, okay. We'll pray for lunch. No, there should be a complete distinction. Let's look at number 2, how to handle. If we look back in Genesis, preacher, am I all right on time? I'm putting that ball in your court, preacher. How to handle. All right, just bear with me. You can write letters later, I guess. How to handle. If we look at verse 35, and let them gather all the food in those good years that come, and lay up the corn under the hand of the Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the city, and the food shall be stored to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land shall perish not through the famine. How to handle. We see food being stored all over the place. They prepared for the famine in verse 35. They stored for the food in verse 36. They had a lot of food in verse 49. In order for us to stay fed, and not experience spiritual famine, we need to be stored up. We need to be studied up. We need to be prayed up. We need to be ready to roll, as you could say. That if we are to not experience spiritual famine, we must read God's Word. Look at Matthew 4:4. You don't have to flip there. I already have it tabbed. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not some, but every word that proceeds out of his mouth. This Bible right here is his word. We can live by his word. His bread is right here in our hands. There is no reason for us to have famine. There is no reason for us to starve. We have the good book. We have the word of God, the bread of life. There is no reason for us to thirst. In John, it talks about the everlasting water. The water that you'll never quench. There is no reason for us to be hungry. If we look at Timothy 4, 1 Timothy. If we look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is studying the Word. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We need to study the Word of God. While you're there in Timothy, just flip right over to 2 Timothy, if you don't mind. 2 Timothy 2:15. We know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to pray. If you want to, write it down. Jude 1:20. We're seeing how we're in Timothy. We'll go to Timothy. 1 Timothy, again, 4, 5 through 6. It says, for it is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. If thou but the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be good minister to Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to memorize Scripture. If you don't mind, turn into Psalms for me. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We were looking at verse 11. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, we need to study the word. We need to memorize Scripture. You can also look at Matthew 6 for those of you who are taking notes. Actually, I'll read it real quick. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they are they shall be filled. Amen. He says, blessed are they. You know, blessed are they that hunger for the goodness of God's word. Blessed are you. Blessed are us. Blessed are we who thirst after God. And He what? They shall be filled. He'll fill us up. We don't have to read this book in vain because He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. I don't care. He'll do it. So we need to read. We need to pray. We need to memorize. We must do all that we can with what we know. I think sometimes that hinders us because we feel we don't know enough. But we need to do all that we can, listen here, with what we know. With what we know. And that's important. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God with what you know. Do it all for the glory of God. You also can look at Colossians 3:20. Housetown preacher, this actually could be really like a 5-week message. I'm flying. I'm sweating. Man, forgive me. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever we do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men. So whatever knowledge we have, we need to use it. So number two is how to handle. How to handle is pray, read, study, memorize, apply what we know, and go outside our box. Number three, where to go. If you look at verse 57 back in Genesis, Genesis 41 again, 41, 55 through 57. I'm coming to close here. I appreciate patience. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was all the face of the earth, over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn because the famine was sore in the land. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. This is really my favorite part. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. They saw the need. They saw there was a need. So they cried to Pharaoh. And he said, they saw the need. They cried for bread. They went to the king. They went to the king. And he brings them to Joseph. Let's check this out. Christians, we have the same ability to go to the king. We have the same ability to go to the king. Just like these people who wanted the bread, they understood where to get it. Who agrees? We understand where to get the bread. We understand where to get it. They understood that if they went to the king, it's one thing to know where to get it. It's another thing to go there, right? So if they go there, they can't just stand there. What do they got to do? They ask for it. So this is neat. We can go to the king. We can ask the king to feed us bread. And what does he do? I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is exciting. In verse 56, he opened the storehouse. Woo! He opened the storehouse. Man, we want to be fed. We want to be prayed up, studied up, read up. We get into this word. We ask, hey, King Jesus, I need your help. I want to understand what I'm about to read this morning. I want you to show me. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to open that storehouse. He's going to open it up because it's his word. It's not name it, claim it. It's his word. It's his word. I'm not about name it, claim it. Trust me. That's a bunch of junk. But it's his word. It's the bread of life. It's the bread. So, and if you go to Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which we know this. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to seek Him. We need to come to Him. We need to come to the King boldly. And we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And we need to confront, we need to come before Him and ask Him to work in our life and to show us where we need to grow. We need to ask Him that we're sick of the famine. We're sick of the starvation. We want to change. Will You be there for me, Lord? You know He's not going to say no. He's going to be like, I'll be there for you, brother, sister. I'll be there for you. He's going to take care of you. He's not a God who's going to turn you away. But here's the thing. This is scary, folks. If we seek Him late, we seek Him late. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 34, John 7:34 says, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come." If you also look at 8:21, because we're right there, it says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whether I go, ye cannot come." Man. If we seek Him late, there's going to be problems. We'll miss out. The Word is going to be scarce. If you look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, I won't go there. The Word is going to be scarce today. You know how many pastorless churches there are, as we heard pastor preaching? But there's lots of them. There's lots of pastorless churches. There's lots of churches that are just in need of a preacher. There's lots of churches. And you know what? It's because the Christian is waiting too long to come to God. If we as Christians truly wanted a preacher, there'd be more preachers. Because God is a God that answers prayer. And I know that. I've seen it in my life. I know God answers prayer. I know that if we were to just be on our knees in constant communication with the Father, He will take care of the churches. He will. All right? Now we have the everlasting water. The well, right? The water is there. But our churches are missing something to draw it with. Right? They're missing something to draw it with. And here's why. Because the preachers aren't getting into the pulpits. Because we're afraid to get out of our little box. I'm sweating like a dog up here. This is great. God wants me to get into this Word. Just like He wants every one of us in here to get into this Word. Whether it's here or with your friends at work. Whether it's with your family. He wants us to do it. We understand that we're missing something to draw with the well. If you look at Amos, and I'm going to close here shortly. Sorry, I heard you chuckle. Amos, Bojangles I think is open until 10. Amos chapter 8. I really don't know what time it's open, sorry. But look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. And what? Shall not find it. And the day shall they fare, virgins and the young man faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say the God of Dan... liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. The conditions of many churches today is one of the spiritual malnutrition, influenced by materialism, immorality, and a lack of true spirituality. Sad but true, by choices, many have imposed the famine upon ourselves. For the Word of God is not read, studied, prayed upon. We don't see or know the worth of mercy until we feel the want of them. And that's good. In verse 12, wandering from sea to sea in quest of the Word of God, but won't find it. What a sad day. What a sad day. We're not there yet, friends. We still got time. If you look, grace is... won't find it. Grace is movable. If we look at Revelations chapter 2, verse 5, grace is movable. It's talking about the candlestick. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, or repent, and do first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Christians, we must need to repent of our famine. America needs to repent of the famine that we're in. We must quit shutting out the voice of the Lord and start responding. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is a God of love, the God that died on the cross for our sins, and He's done nothing but trying to help us better ourselves for His kingdom. Nothing but helping us. But here we sit back, and we sit on our lazy boy recliner, as I have, but I don't know if it's lazy boy, very city. But either way, we sit back in this thing, and we listen to the tube instead of listening to the Word of God. Because we shut Him out. Christian, we must repent. We must repent. If America does not repent, if you look at Amos, it talks about us not hearing the Word of God. If we do not get right with the Lord, we are going to be in serious, serious, serious trouble. We must go to the King. If you look at the Genesis, back Genesis again, and here we're closing, Genesis 41, 55, and 56, going back to my favorite part again. 55, and when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh. Hey, they cried to him. They didn't say, hey, you got any bread? No, no, no. They said, Pharaoh, I need bread. They cried to him. They asked him for the bread. They said, give me something to eat. We're starving here. They asked, they went to him. They went to him. Christian, we need to get on our knees. We need to be crying to Christ for the bread of life. We need to ask him to open up his storehouse and give us that bread of life. We need to ask him to fill our hearts. Give us revival. Give us a thirst for that everlasting water once again. Yes, it's great once we got saved and we were on fire for the Lord. But guess what? We can have that fire once again. If we're willing to ask Jesus Christ into our hearts to cleanse us from all our sins if we're unsaved. But if we ask him into our hearts to repent of our sins so that we can feed on his hungry manna. He wants to give it. Are we willing? So, I'm closing right here. Revelation 21:6. You heard that three times. I know I sit in the seat. Sometimes I say, yeah, I heard that already three times. Closing, closing, closing. Always closing in sales. 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to us. He wants to give us that everlasting water. Christian, friend, we need to look in our hearts and see where in our lives we're famined. We need to look in our hearts. Man, we need to dig deep. It's not surface. It's down here. And we need to ask the Lord really where we're at.